We are joined now by Alec Karakatsanis. He is the founder and executive director of Civil Rights Corps, the author of the book Usual Cruelty. Now, you recently wrote for Current Affairs an article, Why Crime Isn't the Question and Police Aren't the Answer. And I wonder if we can talk about this reframing. A lot of people think it's the role of police to address and reduce crime. Why is this the wrong way to think about police and crime?
I think it's really helpful to begin historically and to understand that the reason that police developed in this country the way that they did has to do with the history of slave patrols and has to do with the history of very wealthy people who control local governments and control local societies trying to use their power to preserve their own wealth. And so policing actually got its real start in crushing labor uprising and in trying to put down any perceived slave rebellion and to capture people who had tried to escape slavery. And it has never in its entire history in this country ever been about protecting people from what they call crime or what police call violent crime, which are concepts that the police really constructed over the last couple hundred years to justify their own existence. But this is really propaganda. And you have to look no further, in addition to that history, and to look at what they do right now. Right, they tell us that they're so necessary because they have to protect us all from the serious criminals and violent crime. But only 4% of all police time around the country is devoted to what police call violent crime. And only 5% of all police arrests have to do with what the FBI calls a serious violent crime. That means that 95 to 96% of all police activity is doing something else. And it's in that other stuff that you, when one sort of peels back the layers, one sees what the police are really about. And that is about controlling and surveilling and punishing and brutalizing people who don't have wealth, and particularly black people and other people of color in our society. And that has always been the true function of American policing.
And when people think about police abolition, I know there's a lot of fear around that and a lot of anxiety on the idea that if police are abolished, then there will be nothing. So can you talk about what to fill in the gap, like what's needed in order to replace police if we were to abolish them?
When we talk about defunding police, it's portrayed as something radical and outrageous, and it's going to lead to anarchy. But what you have to understand is we could defund police departments by 80% of what we're paying them now, and we could go back to the way that it was in 1980. And that wasn't a society of anarchy or a society of you know, sort of radical outlaws. We would look very much like virtually every other country in the modern Western world if we defunded our police departments by 80 or 90%. So just to start with, when we talk about defunding police and then eventually rendering them obsolete and abolishing them and replacing them with things that actually help communities flourish, it's actually not that radical of a concept. In fact, many communities around the country, wealthy communities, have very little policing and very little contact with the police. And what we're talking about is creating a society that is radically meeting people's needs. It is providing people with housing, with medical care, mental health treatment, and drug addiction treatment, and connections between human beings so that we don't create as much trauma and violence as our current system is actually creating. And it's that sort of society where we're actually giving people the things that they need. If you look at more wealthy neighborhoods where so-called violent crime, the police say, is at very low, almost non-existent levels, those are places that have after-school theater and music and poetry programs and athletic programs. And those are places where people have safe places to live, and good jobs, and they can provide for their families, right? So these are the kinds of things that abolitionists are thinking about as alternatives to the existing carceral police state that we're living in. And I think it's very important to understand how not radical that is. It's about a different conception of public safety. It's about a conception of public safety that also includes black and brown people and poor people, and not just the wealthiest people in our society who can afford to extract wealth from those other communities and then use a police force to protect it.
And during the protests that have gone on this summer, there's been a number of responses to the call for abolition, one of them being, how about we reform police departments? And Camden, New Jersey is given as an example. And you talk about that in your article. Why is that problematic and not the answer?
Almost all of the people that are talking about so-called police reform are actually trying to get more resources and more money and more cops into police departments. Now, Camden is a perfect example. They disbanded their police department, but then hired way more cops and then started making way more arrests of disproportionately black people. That's the story of police reform in this country for decades, has been the story of the bureaucracy getting bigger. And it's not just the police force is getting bigger. You have to understand what that means. It's the power of police unions and jail guard unions and prison guard unions. And then it's the power of all of the people that work in the system, the judges, the prosecutors, the sheriffs, the probation officers, the parole officers. And then it's the power of the whole array of multi-billion dollar corporations that profit off of every single aspect of the system. The people that make the GPS monitors and the handcuffs and the sirens and the bulletproof vests and the military equipment that police use. The people that make all of the profit off of the jails and prisons that we have, the food service, the medical care. They're now multi-billion dollar companies that have contracted with local police departments and sheriff's departments to stop people from even having in-person contact visits with their family on the premise that they can make more money off prison and jail phone calls and video calls if they stop people from actually being able to hug and see their children. They'll pay more money for calls. This is the entire metastasized bureaucracy of American policing, which is far exceeding anything that we've ever seen in our own recorded history, and far exceeding anything that we've seen in the recorded history of the modern world. You have to understand, this is a country that is caging black people at 6 times the rate of South Africa at the height of apartheid. And so people that are talking about making minor little reforms to that system are completely and utterly misunderstanding the scope of the problem.
And I think what we saw in the presidential election, where Joe Biden made a kind of not the strong showing that they were hoping, the Democrats were hoping, while the squad, the more leftists in the Democratic Party, did make progress, kind of shows that the American people are ready for more radical change. Do you think that is an accurate depiction of the kind of political scope that we're facing right now and where people are at?
I think people just want to live safe lives with their families and communities, and they want to have all of the things that are required for that, a place to live, adequate medical care, good places for their children to go to schools. These are all the things that police destroy, because when we're investing in policing, particularly in poor communities, communities of color, we're not investing in all of the other things that make communities flourish. And this, by the way, is a huge propaganda point, right? So if you take a look at the war on drugs, for example, we've spent trillions of dollars on the war on drugs. We've invaded other countries. We've firebombed Latin American rainforests. We've surveilled the communications of hundreds of millions of people every single day. We have cage tens of millions of people for marijuana possession alone, and even more people for all other drug use combined. We have separated tens of millions of children from their families, and we've placed millions of human beings into cages where they're likely to be sexually assaulted and physically abused and to contract infectious disease, right? All of these horrific things that happen in our cages, which are really torture chambers. And we've done all of this without the slightest shred of evidence that it does anyone any good. And I think ordinary people can see past that. They understand that devoting all of these resources to punishing people for drug use hasn't even reduced the use of drugs in this country. So people aren't stupid. People understand that we actually need to do the things in our communities that create the kinds of vibrant, safe, flourishing environments for children to grow up and for people to live and to exist together in community. And I think people, you know, have been subjected to a tremendous amount of police propaganda to try to convince them that police are somehow necessary for this. And not only that, that police in this current form, 5 times greater than the policing forces that existed just 30 or 40 years ago in this country. So I think that helps explain, you know, why whenever you actually sit down and talk to communities about what they want, they never say that they want more punishment and money spent on cages and handcuffs and tasers. They say that they want to live good lives with their families, and they want safe places to be. And that's, I think, the message that is shining through when I talk to people all over this country.
Well, and I really want to thank you so much for that message. Again, we have been speaking with Alec Karakatsanis. He is the founder, executive director of Civil Rights Corps, and recently wrote the article for Current Affairs, Why Crime Isn't the Question and Police Aren't the Answer. Alec, thank you for joining us on KBOO today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this is Jinka Soderberg with KBOO Radio.